Sweet spot. We are talking DFS golf for the farmers. Joining me, as always, Alex Remezowski. What's going on, Alex?
Not much. Looking forward to this week. Should be a good one. We're finally starting to look at a full field event with some actual names in it.
Yes, and name recognition.
A big old Tiger Woods return.
Yes, sir. And as you mentioned pre-show, I think this is our one-year anniversary of the Sweet Spot. We started this puppy last year at Torrey Pines, if memory serves us correctly.
Yes, we did. And I'm trying to think of where Tiger made his return last year now.
It was not – it was here, wasn't it? Yeah, this was his – I think this was his first event back.
And yeah, because he had his soft return at his own tournament.
Right. Yeah, and so then, had no idea what to do with him.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like, who knows, but he's won here a lot. So he was probably like 90% owned.
But yeah, so hit us with a course preview real quick. We got, you know, another multi-course event here. Give us the lay of the land.
Yeah, so we are in San Diego, California at the well-known Torrey Pines Golf Course. Two courses, as you mentioned. You got the South Course and the North Course. The quote-unquote host course is the South Course. So that'll be played by everybody who makes the weekend, both days of the weekend. And then everybody will play the South once and the North once on Thursday, Friday. So the South Course, they're both very difficult courses. The scoring here is, I think, pretty much top or bottom three of the year in terms of under par scoring pretty much every single year. The South Course is over, it's almost 7,700 yards, which is very long. Par 72. So we're talking four par fives, four par threes. And that's actually true of the North Course too, which is definitely the easier of the two. It's the shorter of the two, but you look at 7,700 yards and you're thinking distance right off the bat.
Yep.
And yeah, for sure. And if you look back at past winners, past people who have fared well in the tournament, it definitely supports that. Jason Day twice. Tiger Woods has actually won this tournament seven times. He's won at Torrey Pines eight times, and he's making his return, as we mentioned. So,
I believe 2013 was the most recent of those.
Yes, sir. That was his seventh win of the Farmers, and then you got Jason Day twice. You got John Rahm with, I think, a couple, at least a runner up, and then he won in 17. A lot of recurring names at the top two, which I found interesting, but it definitely supports the long ball hitter theory here. So,
yep.
Both courses are difficult. Long par threes that I think you're really going to have to score on. The North Course, something I found pretty interesting. The North Course, the par fives, like the birdie rates on those holes are very high, and then pretty much the highest bogey rates of the par threes. So I think both par three scoring and par five scoring are big. You need birdies on the par fives, and you need to avoid bogeys pretty much everywhere else.
All right. The overall impression I get is not only do you need the length, though, but you need an all-around game. You either need to pick it up on the putting surface, or you need to be, you know, a really good scrambler, something along those lines. It's, you know, being a big hitter is not going to get it done on its own.
Yeah. I think the thing about like courses like these with the guys who can like really push 350 plus regularly off the tee is that they're going to be seeing four par fives each day. And if you're smashing the ball anywhere in play, not even necessarily in the fairway, you're pretty high probability you're going to at least be on or around the green in two. And then if you can get up and down, it's an easy birdie. And if you're hitting it on the green, you're giving yourself eagle opportunities. So I think that's where distance helps, but it's definitely true. You got to make the birdie putts, like I say, every single week. So I always like to look at just the people, sometimes 5 to 10 to 15 foot putt percentage, just to see who's hot, who's not. You see, like Adam Hadwin last week, always plays well on the West Coast. Greens are a lot different on the West Coast. So it definitely makes a difference. I know some people don't like to look at putting at all. I think it's something to at least take into consideration because you need to make putts to score.
Yeah, for me, putting kind of falls in the, it's hard to predict, so, it's hard to account for, but sometimes it helps to look at it, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, that all bears out in the top tier here when we look at the names in the 10K plus range. Jon Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Tiger Woods, Jason Day, all big hitters, all, pretty well-rounded games. Who do you like out of this top section?
Yeah, I actually think this is one of the, normally we're talking 10 plus thousand on DraftKings, and you can pretty easily narrow it down to exactly what you want or what you have to do to make a well-rounded lineup. This kind of leaves the door open for you to kind of do whatever you want. So I went ahead and my first look at this and like a real breakdown, and I'm pretty much walking away with Jon Rahm, Jason Day. Those are my two favorites out of here. I think the other three, obviously all fantastic golfers. We saw Justin Rose last week, not quite in form. He was consistent, but not great. Rory's never played here before, and then Tiger is coming off a long break.
Rahm, there's a lot to like about Rahm. I mean, he hasn't crushed it the last two times we've seen him. From more of like an optics standpoint, but he's got a T8 and a sixth. Like, that's two straight top tens. He won the Hero. I feel like there's a little bit of fatigue with having him as the top price golfer and not getting a top three, and that may work in our favor, and lower his ownership a hair this week. So,
Yeah, and
if you
you
can
know
fit him.
what? I feel the same way about Patrick Cantlay. This is jumping the gun. He's only 9-2, but he has pretty much just been consistent top tens over and over, and I feel like people are almost not even note like his price is still 9-2, which is kind of crazy. He doesn't have the course history that Jon Rahm does, having won in 2017, but someone like that, it's like maybe you're expecting more of him and he doesn't live up to it, or people just keep passing over him for one reason or another. But I definitely agree with that. I think just the fact that he may have let people down by like coming in sixth last week, that he could be overlooked by a lot of big names in the field.
I like Rory's length here, but yeah, it's he's never played this course, so
Yeah, it's Rory. It's always a bit of a.
But like he hadn't played he either never played the Century, well, not the Century, the Sony, or was it the Century? I forget. It was one of the Hawaii courses where, yeah, I think it was the Century where length was an advantage. He hadn't played it in forever, and like, slow greens with good distance, and it was just a great recipe. But he, phoned it in on Sunday, which we've seen in the past. So if that doesn't happen, he
Yeah,
might
he
have
needs
won
to
that
start like
tournament.
playing on Sundays. Yeah, it happened there. It happened a couple times last year. It happened in the Masters last year. He's good for three rounds and then he kind of implodes on Sunday. He ended up T4, but that was such a small field that another takeaway for people was probably a letdown. So you might be able to get some decent ownership on him too.
Yeah, then Rose is very consistent. He's a cash game play, and Tiger is Tiger, and you're either going to play him or you aren't.
Yeah,
That's my typical Tiger analysis. You're a Tiger Woods guy or you're not.
it's very true, and a lot of people are Tiger Woods guys these days, so
Yeah, what a
you
brother that.
probably find a little advantage in not playing him. If he finishes pretty much outside the top 10, you're golden.
Right. Okay, dropping into the nines. Some nice names in here. Some distance hitters. Some guys who used to be maybe a little higher, like Ricky. You mentioned Patrick Cantlay. Yeah, the Cantlay got me last week. I couldn't pay the price for him, but he was pretty much the third most projectable golfer, and he delivered, I think, for you for the most part with a T9.
I guess I'll start with him. Patrick Cantlay is probably, there's two names that I kind of go right to here. That is Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay. Those are going to possibly be building blocks for me, really. I'd like to fit someone above in with either one or both of them, but that's going to get kind of difficult with the nines. You're always like, if you got someone in that 10 plus range, you got to jump down into the eights, see what you can do there, and then fill in. But those are the two guys I like. Tony Finau, I actually love. I just have a feeling he's going to be like 40% owned, but he makes a ton of sense for the tournament. He's finished top 25 the past 4 years here. He's finished top six the past 2 years. So
Yeah, I think it'll be more like 25%, but I wish we had seen him more recently. That's my only drawback with Finau. Everything else, makes a lot of sense.
Because everyone else around there, you've pretty much seen them. Maybe not so much Ricky, but Ricky has terrible history here. He's always been the Farmers Insurance guy. So
Yep.
I remember we talked about this last year. I don't know if it's media obligations or
Yeah, spread a little
whatever it
thin.
was. And then last year, actually, people were saying
He's
the
missed
Abu
three
Dhabi
straight cuts.
Classic. And I think if I recall correctly, last year he had a very good Thursday and then crumbled on Friday, or maybe opposite. Maybe he hates one of the courses. I'm really not sure. I haven't looked into it
Could
enough,
be.
but what coincides with the PGA Tour last week is the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship, a big tournament in Europe. Shane Lowry won last week. Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, a lot of big names were there. And then I don't, no one stands out to me right now that actually played there and will be here now. But I know last year Ricky was there, which pretty much means he finishes that tournament, flies back to the United States to, I would imagine, Florida, where he lives, and then has to fly across the United States to get here to play in a pro-am on Wednesday. That's like a lot of moving around.
Yep, it's a
So,
lot.
and he didn't play in that this year. So maybe some Ricky.
Yeah, and he's a good price. You're not going to see him at 9,300 very often.
Definitely not.
And then the one name we didn't hit there, Mark Leishman, 9,700. He's been on fire lately. Third and a fourth place finish in Hawaii. He's got the distance. He's a big guy. So, slightly. Elevated for his usual price, but he's a little lower than we've seen him recently because of the diminished fields. So, slice that whichever way makes you feel better.
Course history is juicing his price up a bit, but he has been playing well. I just seem to fade him and shoot myself in the foot like 90% of the time.
Then Gary Woodland's got the distance, on our way out of the nines here. I think he's going to be pretty popular. He's been playing well lately, and he's a good price. But I like him in the low eights instead of the nines myself.
Yeah, he's been playing so well, but he just strikes me as like a lesser Finau, even though I was gonna say a lesser Finau that can't close, but Finau doesn't historically close either.
Right.
I would guess top 5 for Tony Finau, top 15 for Gary Woodland.
Gotcha.
Like them both, but
Yeah.
who knows?
All right, then kicking off the eights here, a name we haven't seen at this price in long, long time. Jordan Spieth, 8,900. Since his day's coming up. He hasn't been down here. Obviously, missing cuts and playing the way he's been playing, that'll cause you to get dropped.
Yeah, that's got to be a real kick in the nuts. I wonder if he pays any attention to his DraftKings pricing.
I doubt it with a guy like Spieth, but I'm sure he knows where he's at as far as favorite. Maybe not his exact betting odds, but he knows he's not in the top 10 favorites.
Hey Jordan, did you hear Gary Woodland is priced above you this week?
I know Adam Levitan, brought this up on his pod, but like there needs to be a dedicated news network for fantasy. Like beat reporters out talking to NFL teams was the context he brought it up in. But I would love to hear, a guy on the PGA circuit asking Spieth like that exact question. That would be hilarious.
How do you feel about that? It would be funny. Some people would, I'm saying red zone for golf. God, I would love that. On a more serious
Instead of
note,
just the
oof.
same five golfers being
That would be
focused on for 4 days.
golf coverage is just a complete disaster. I can't get over it.
All right, who else in the eights are we looking at? Because there's some names here.
Yeah, there's kind of a chunk for me that I really like that it's a big chunk, but you kind of have your pros and cons to each guy. Alex Noren was a runner-up here last year. Yeah, T2 last year.
I
So
think it was
he's
a
always
playoff.
like, I know you're a big Noren guy, and 8,600 here seems like a fantastic option for him. I've been meaning to see if he's played any non-listed events like very recently. But one way or another, I think that's a safe play to go with right there. And then Cam Champ really fits the mold of the course with no course history. And I'm hoping that people look over him because of his so-so outing at the Sony. So if you can get some good ownership on Cam Champ at 8,500, I think that's a fun muddle play there.
The Sony's not the course he's gonna excel at. So, yeah, I mean he's got the top driving distance on tour right now, I believe, and that's what you need here this week. A little bit of risk there. And on Noren, I think he's a nice cash play. He was riding a, I think this was the start of his real hot streak there at the very beginning of last golf season. I don't think he's back there yet, but don't hate him this week. You could definitely use him.
Trying to look at him, look for him on Fantasy Nationals ownership projections, and I am not. I have the top like
About 7%.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, so he's getting overlooked like he typically does, but he's a solid option.
Yeah, I don't hate that.
Couple other names we didn't hit. Patrick Reed, not the exact profile for the course, but he's just such a scrappy golfer. I could see him clawing his way into a top 10.
Yeah, Patrick Reed, 86, 87, 88 every week, and it always just sucks me right in. So I'll be playing him. I don't want to be the first one to mention him because I always am.
Take turns. We need to mention him every week.
No, I mean, I really do like, I feel like he's never that high owned because people just don't like him. He can perform pretty much anywhere you put him, and he plays so much that just feel like he's a robot, and he's gonna peak, and then there's gonna be a little downfall, and it just depends if you're on him at the right time.
Then Cam Smith, 8,800. I don't know. I don't have a read on him. I like him. He's got decent distance. I think he fits. I had the feeling coming into this week that he was gonna be a popular golfer, but projection does not look, out of the single digits. So, maybe people are just overlooking him with the field we have and then the pricing group he's in, because he's usually, a little lower than this. But he's a guy that I think could do a little something for you in a GPP lineup.
Yeah, I mean he's got the past 2 years at least doing pretty decent here, making the cut, and he's been playing very well, and he's been kind of right in there. I always think of him as the Australian who's playing well in like different field events or Euro or the Australian Open is what he won recently, I believe. And so, I mean, he's got the skill there. I always overlook him, and that's probably why his ownership, because I like to think I'm the same as the whole world. And if I like someone, they're probably chalky, and if I don't like them, then they're probably not. So, it tournament play, 8,800, take him instead of Reed. Nothing I can say against it.
Yeah, and then on our way out of the eights, you got Hideki Matsuyama at eight even. Nice cash play. Not the exact fit for the course, but he's made the cut here his last two times out. Played pretty well with the exception of Sunday. Last time we saw him and ended up 51st, but without that bad Sunday, he was more of a top 25. We say that about a lot of different rounds and bend things, but I don't think he misses the cut here. And for 8K, that's a nice discount on him.
Yeah, and I'd rather say that about Sunday than I would have about Thursday or Friday.
Right.
So I totally agree. I think he's, I'm going to keep playing him as long as his price stays respectable for what he's doing. And I think even if it's just purely off of price and knowing that he's got a ceiling, I'm definitely good with him this week.
All right, let's get into the sevens. A lot of names here. This is, as always, one of the most important places that you're going to roster golfers from because it's either going to be an all or none in all likelihood. So, what do we like down here in the sevens?
My two choices up top, going back to the well on both Sung Jae Im and Luke List. Both are not safe options by any means, but I'm definitely gonna stick with them here. I think you gotta stick with some guys that I know Luke List. We all know Luke List can hit the ball a mile, and he's capable of a lot more than what we've seen recently. He's warmed up. He's out there. He's on the West Coast. I expect a turnaround from him. And then Sungjae, I just want to stay hot on him. I am bullish on the Sungjae train. I have been for a while, and he has two top 20s his past two outs. So
Yeah, really nice return on Sungjae lately. So I'm there with you. I'm gonna stick with it. And on Luke List, you got T4 cut, T4 cut. So T4 is coming.
yep, perfect.
That's how golf works, right?
Yeah, I think you just gotta stay with someone. It's like you can't be scared away from like one. It's literally when someone misses a cut, it's probably one round. Sometimes it's one stroke, and people get very, very scared away from players because of that. And we know what he can do. We know this is the type of course for him. So let's do it.
Any interest in Ryan Palmer coming off of a missed cut, but finished second here last year. He's a big hitter.
He's on my list, but he's not highlighted on my list. That's how I feel about him right now.
Yeah,
Which
that's
is
kind of
kind of
how you
how
feel
I
about Ryan
always.
Palmer most weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I can't give you like a firm yes or no. If you like fall to 7,600, I suppose.
He
There are
seem, I
definitely
mean, he
some
seems to
names
do better on the
below.
West Coast, you know.
Yes. Yeah, which is definitely true. I think right below him with CT Pan, you have an obvious cash play. So I like that too. I think I'd probably rather go down to CT Pan or even a little below him. But man, Palmer just on certain weeks will show what he's made of in top 10, top 5. So, I mean, it's a tournament play. I'm not too confident in him ever, but he's there.
Right. And then another guy, moving down here, Joaquin Niemann missed the cut last week, which was pretty disappointing on, courses that were definitely gettable. I mean, he was four under, but when you see the winning scores, the four under was nothing. So, what are we doing with him this week? I feel like a lot of people, because of his price last week, were all in. and could have gotten burned, so you might get the
He's like quickly becoming a favorite of so many people that he's becoming like that guy who gets heavy ownership like every single week. And I am like, overall, I still think he's gonna win this year, and I have pretty much all positive things to say about him, but like DFS wise, it's just like me messing with my own head, and I just like want to fade him so bad, just to like chop off that 15% of the players who do play him, because he's let me down more than he has built me up. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I don't have a bead on the ownership. It right now it doesn't look big, but I feel like that as the week moves on could change. He's a really nice price. You're going to be looking for somebody down here, and he's a big hitter. Big hitter than Neiman, so
Yeah.
it's could trend in the opposite direction of what you want.
It's a coin toss. It scares me to like go full fade on him when then he wins it. Like, who knows?
All right, anybody else down here in the low sevens that you're reaching for?
Low sevens, I'm gonna choose Harris English, someone we're both a little bit on. I think you might have been a little more bullish on him than me last week. I would have to guess he's going to be chalky now because he played pretty well last week. He kind of, where did he finish? Yeah, T, is that T8 or am I looking at? Okay, no. He,
51st. Not
did he
so
drop
not
on
great.
Sunday a little
Yeah, he had just kind of like a normal first 2 days.
bit?
Did a little bit, and then Sunday
Fizzled
was,
into Harris English
yeah,
territory.
like he was just his kind of like usual self.
Yeah, see, I don't know if it's just the distance or what, but he has great course history. So,
Yeah, he is a
I mean,
big
that's
hitter.
going to pop for people. People are going to notice that and probably play him, but I think it is a pretty decent play for the price. And I'll say the same about both Kevin Tway and Ryan Moore. So, Ryan Moore makes little to no sense in terms of the whole distance play, but we have seen people play well here, like Brandt Snedeker. Like a couple other even winners here that don't necessarily hit the ball 300 yards every single time, like 350, whatever. And Ryan Moore is a very good player to be priced 7,300. I'm pretty sure he's from Vegas, which is, it's getting out there west. It's that same kind of golf. Maybe not so much coastline golf, but something I like about him. And just the fact in some smaller fields, you see him priced at like 9,200, 9,300. So, like, maybe purely out of price, Ryan Moore is very interesting to me. And then I am permanently high on Harold Varner, who I'm going to keep playing. He's coming off two missed cuts at this course, but he's playing great, and he also hits the ball very far.
Yeah, I like that. I was not on Varner with you last week, and that was to my detriment. A couple other names I got. Brennan Steele, he's got the distance. He hasn't missed a cut here in forever. He's filling our Kevin Streelman role this week of a almost $7,000 salary relief cash play. Help you get somebody like Justin Rose into your lineup. And then if we're talking distance, and irons are pretty important as well. Adam Scott hasn't played here, I don't think. So a lot to find out about Adam Scott this week, but I don't think anybody's going to use him. So
Yeah,
interesting.
people are probably scared of him, but he's been on tour for a long time. I'm only looking at the most recent 5 years in front of me, which I'm sure is what you're looking at, what most people are looking at. I'd like to look into him a little more because I'm sure in his heyday with Tiger winning 8 times that Adam Scott was out there too. And I would be
I got back
surprised.
to 09 here, and I don't see him. So
Huh.
it's possible, but
Maybe he just started his season a little later.
or was playing, in the desert, in the Middle East.
Yeah, that's a good point. Might be over in Abu Dhabi.
So yeah, that's what we got for that range. Any punts to speak of? in the sub sevens.
Yeah, I've got a couple here. So one more seven would be Keith Mitchell at an even 7,000. He just fits the course again. He's probably going to be noticed because people think of him as the long ball guy.
Yeah, I'm a Keith Mitchell fan though.
I am too. I am too. I think he's a very good player, and this course makes sense for him. Drop it down into the sixes. I would start with Chesson Hadley, who we saw recently miss a cut, but that started with some pretty decent golf, and then I think he missed it by like one stroke, maybe two. It was like a late fall apart. I'm not sure exactly what happened, but he is another guy who makes a lot of sense here. And 6,900 is very cheap for Chesson Hadley. We've seen him way higher than that before.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you got anyone else in the sixes? I got a couple names I can list off quick, but not too much to support them.
I like Joel Dahman down here. Not much below where we typically see him, but I think he could make some noise here.
Yeah, I like that too. He's also someone who always seemed to like show up early and then
Yeah.
maybe kind of fall apart, but
As long as he makes the cut.
exactly. There's something about showing up early that I really don't mind because that means we'll see you on Saturday, Sunday, and you're gonna be getting me some points. Unlike some people,
Yep.
like last week, if you had 6 out of 6, whew.
And then I mentioned the Kevin Streelman mold earlier. You got Kevin Streelman down here, so if you want the original Kevin Streelman, you can have him for 6,800. It's a little riskier these
Yes,
days.
sir.
He's not he, at the end of the season. He kind of, or I guess, it's more like middle third of the season. He was a little bit inconsistent. So.
Yep, and then I guess beyond that, Denny McCarthy is someone who I keep wanting to play. There's not much to back him up there other than the fact that we saw him play some good golf towards the end of last season on the web.com and do his few appearances into the PGA Tour, where he definitely made a little bit of a following, a little name for himself. So someone to follow. I'm pretty sure he is another long ball guy. And then two guys, Bud Cauley was a name we mentioned last week. He's kind of getting back into the swing of things after his injury last year. So it's like his price, 6,900, is very cheap for him. And I would not say that's a terrible play there. And then we got Dom Bazzelli, who is just grinding it out after a disappointing Sunday 2 weeks ago. We came back T5 last week. He was
Great
right
last
in
week.
there. Yeah, I was watching all Sunday and I was like, he was very close to being able to make a move, but like you get yourself your two groups ahead of the final group and you're just a couple strokes ahead on such a birdie strong course that it's like you're right there, but you're really not right there. And Adam Long comes out of nowhere.
Yep, nobody owned him.
Nobody. And he's at 6,800, so if you think he's really feeling it, you never know. He didn't strike me as someone who's going to be like
Earn his
hammered
tour
all week.
card and assume pretty loose.
I mean, he said he was going to turn his phone off, so nobody was asking him for loans.
Yep.
So we got to respect that. I think he's probably out there looking to go back and do it again, but not that I would really trust that at all. But yeah, I like Dom. And then one more guy, Sebastian Munoz.
Okay.
6,400, that is my like official bare minimum punt of the week.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap up with a couple one and duns here. Anybody you're starting your one and done week with?
Well, I had a bad one for myself last week, and so I've got to think of something good here, I guess.
I want to reach for Tony Finau. I think he makes a lot of sense, but I just feel like he's gonna win somewhere else this year that it might be better to hold on to him for. But like, you look at the people who have won, and it just Finau makes sense to me as a winner here.
Yeah, it's like you want to see him play one tournament before you actually pull the trigger.
Yeah.
I like someone I feel similarly about is Xander. Like I no, not with his course history. That's a bad call. But I do like I'm high on him right now for
Yeah, I'm
like
coming off
all
the
things
win.
considered.
And
Coming off the win, he's from San Diego. He hits the ball so far. He makes sense, but I feel like he's gonna be in contention at the Masters. So like, I'd
right, yeah.
rather.
He does love the spotlight a little more than this tournament may garner.
Exactly. So I'd rather want like Cam Champ would be a kind of interesting play. Like never played here before. If you're looking to be different, Keegan Bradley, interesting.
I'm kind of tempted to go Mark Leishman because he had really high one and done ownership one of the second week in Hawaii there, I think, on the Sony. And so a lot of people are going to have used him, and you can catch him on his hot streak here. I'd make him one of my official recommendations.
Yeah. You know what? I actually really like that because being someone who is not ever all that into Mark Leishman,
It's a
this
good
is
spot to burn him.
it is a good spot to burn him. He's got the course history. He's been playing a lot lately. A lot of people already burned him. And I mean, he didn't like let everyone down, but he could very well pay off this week. So, hey, I agree with that. I guess if I had to choose someone I'd go with, if I had to go with a lower end, I'd go with Cam Champ or Keegan Bradley if I had to go with someone up high. Yeah, Mark Leishman, I like it. Tony Finau, both of them, both interesting.
Sounds good. All right, guys, that's what we got this week. As always, follow us on Twitter. I'm at Roto underscore Juan. Alex is at Donald Remington. You can sign up for Lineup Logic at patreon.com/lineuplogic. $10 a month gets you the tools that you're looking for. And don't forget to add us if you are looking for some advice in the Slack chat. And as always, may the sports be with you.